Mishnah Yom is for Tuesday, the 19th day of Sivan, Tov Shin Pei Dalet. Masechta Gittin, Perek Hay, Mishnah Hay. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. Rabbi Yochanan Gudgada gave testimony in front of the Chachamim for various halachas that he heard from his teachers. He did this in Yavne. And the following halachas he testified about. Alachareshes, deaf mute, Shehisia Avia, whose father married her off, and a father who is married off a daughter, has, if she's a ketana or nara, he has the power to mekadesh her. Even though normally a chareshes is kedushin midrabanan, but if a father accepts kedushin for his daughter who is deaf mute, she's a proper eshesish min haTorah. And he testified, Rebbe Chaim testified, Shehi Yotza Beget, that she herself, that the girl who was married off by her father, the Chareshes, she can receive the get, she can go up to the get. Now, a Chareshes is not deemed to be of sound mind, right? They're usually put together with the cotton and the shaita. And how can she accept the get? Well, the answer is because a woman does not need, we do not need the consent of a woman to give a get, at least min haTorah. And therefore, she can accept the get, or someone can give her the get itself, and she'll be divorced. Another halacha that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada testified about. Ba'al ketano bas Yisrael shenisus lekoin, a minor who came from a Yisrael family and was married to a kohen. Now, when a person gets married to a kohen, a woman, she gets to eat the truma. But that's if she's properly married. But a ketana can't be properly married. We're talking here about where the mother or the brother married her off, where the kiddushin or the marriage is not min haTorah, it's only min rabbanon. And he said, we will allow her to eat truma nonetheless, but only truma rabbanon. She'achelas b'truma. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that we are not worried she might come to eat truma min haTorah. Everyone agrees she can't eat truma min haTorah because she's not properly married min haTorah to the kohen. Midrabbanon she is. So midrabbanon she can eat truma midrabbanon, but we're not making a barrier that that maybe she might come to eat truma min haTorah. We allow to eat truma midrabbanon. Another takana he made, another halacha he testified to. V'imesa, that is, if this minor, this ketana, died and left over assets, by liyorsha, her husband will inherit it. Again, not min haTorah, because he's not married to min haTorah. Let's remember that we're not talking about the father mekadesh, we're talking about the brother or the mother was mekadesh to a man, to a kohen. And the husband can be yorisha. Now, how can the Chacham do that? That's because they have the power of hafke based on hafke, which means they can take someone's property and make it belong to someone else. So here in this case, the Chacham can take her properties when she dies and say that the husband is Yerushat, even though in our Torah it would be her family rather than the husband. V'al hamorish hagozel. He also testified about a stolen beam. Well, let's say a person stole a big, nice timber beam and he built it in his house. Shebnoi babira. That he made a takana, sheyito listomov, that the nigzal, the owner of that beam, can be forced to take payment for it rather than the actual beam. When he does tshuva or when he's found out, he will be able to say to the nigzal, "Look, I'll pay you for the beam, but I don't want to destroy my house because of it." And why did they make this takana? Says Rabbi Yochanan Gudgada, says the Mishnah, "Mipnei takana sashavim." This was to enable people to do tshuva, to provide an incentive. If a person knows that he's going to be able to keep the beam, just pay for it, it'll be more inclined to own up to his crime or to pay money for it. But if he has to now destroy his house in order to return the actual beam to the owner, he might think twice about doing tshuva. V'al chatos hagzula sheloi noido l'rabim shehim mechaperes. He also made gay testimony about a stolen animal that was offered as a korban chatos, that if it's not known to the public that it was stolen, shelo noda rabim, shimechaperes, that it will do the atonement for the owner, and they don't have to bring another chatos. In other words, that the chatos is going to be valid. The sin offering is going to be valid. Now, why did he do that? Mipnei tikkun hamizbeach, in order to provide animals for the mizbeach. What does that mean? The Gemara explains. It means that the mizbeach should be occupied with kabbonis and not be left empty. Because if we will say that a stolen chatos, that even that was not known to the public, it was not known to the public that it was stolen. If you're going to say that that too will not provide a kapara, then the kohenim will be nervous about offering any karbonis of chatos, of sin offerings. Why? Who gets to eat the karbon chatos? It's the kohenim. But if they are worried that the karbonis that they're offering may be stolen, and therefore not performing a kapara, and therefore the animal or the carbon they brought is not really a carbon of Kedusha, it's chulin, God forbid. Chulin that was slaughtered in the Azara. Well, they can't eat that. That's asr to eat that. And the Kohenim might be so nervous about each carbon chatos that's on the Mizbeach, who knows, maybe it was stolen, that they might not want to offer the Kabbonis and the Mizbeach will be left empty. So therefore the Chacham said that even though it may be a chatos gezula, as long as it's not known to the public, it will be mechaper, it will atone for the owner. Again, the Chachamim used the technique of hefker based on hefker. They can decide who things belong to when it's a monetary issue. And they will say that the owner has the animal. It's his, even if it may be stolen. And that's to alleviate this problem of the Kohenim being nervous. Mishnah Vav. Sikrikon. What is a sikrikon? Sikrikon was... It was a name given to murderous goyim who would be threatening Jewish people by, you know, your life or you give me your field. And that's how they would do it. And now Mishnah is talking about a person who bought a field from this sikrikon, from a person who had already taken it from a Jew. Do we say that the original owners can come and take it from the Jewish lakayach, from the Jewish buyer? Lohoya sikrikon bi'Yehuda Barugi Milchama. Says the Mishnah, there was no din of sikrikon in Yehuda when it came to people killed in war, or when people were being killed, which means that in the days where there was war, where people were out for Jewish blood, in the days of the Titus war against Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and Jews were left free for murder, Rahman al-Islam, there was a gezerah, there was a decree around in the empire to kill every Jew they saw. And then anybody who gave his field to a sikrikon, to one of these mafia people to save his life, when he sold it, he made it with a full heart. He said he gave it away and it was a valid sale. And anyone who bought it from the owners, if now a Jewish person came and bought it from the sikrikon, from these criminals, from these gangsters in those days, it's like buying it from the original owner. And it doesn't have to be reversed. It's a proper purchase. So again, it was bought by a sikrikon from the Jewish owner under the, you know, your life or your field. And then the Jewish man bought it from the sikrikon. It's a valid purchase. The original owner has no recourse. But after this period had passed and there was no longer this death warrant for all Jews, but there still were people who were mafia men coming along stealing fields. That still was happening. Yesh po sikrikon. Then the law of sikrikon will apply in Yehuda. Now, what is the law of sikrikon? Ketzat. How does this law work? Says the Mishnah. Asks the Mishnah. Answers the Mishnah. Lokach mis sikrikon. A Jew who bought a field from one of these mafia people, these gangsters. And then he reconfirmed his purchase by going to the original owner and saying, I'm buying it. I want you to be happy that I'm buying it and make a kinyan on it. Make a bottle. That purchase is null and void. Why? Because we say that the Jewish owner only sold him the field or agreed to make that kinyan because he was frightened of the gangster. He was frightened of the sikrikon. And really, he did not want to completely to makne to the sikrikon with a full heart at all. He just thought, let him buy it now, and I'll take him to court after. Mibala bayis. But what happens if a person bought the field first from the owner, a Jewish owner? Because of a lakach mizikrikin. And then he went and bought it from the sikrikin, from the gangster, who paid the sikrikin money as well. In other words, he paid the sikrikin, he paid the gangster money in order to keep the field in his hand. Mekhakayim, says the Mishnah, the purchase will be valid. And the owner of the field cannot come and claim anything. He can't come and say, oh, I didn't sell it. The Mekach is kaim. Why? Because he first bought it from the owner. And then he went and bought it in the Sikrikan. So the owner can't say, oh, I only did it because I was afraid of the gangster, what he would do. What do you mean? There was no gangster then. It was first he bought it from the Sikrikan. He bought it first from the Balabais. Same thing will occur if a person bought a field that was reserved by a husband for the ksuba, for payment of the ksuba of his wife. So lokach min ha'ish, if a person comes along, some person from the market, from the street, comes and he buys the field from the husband, the field that was reserved for the ksuba, payment of his wife's ksuba, v'chazav lokach min ha'isha. And then the man went over to the wife as well, and he said, look, I'd like to buy it from you. Can I have let's write a contract, a separate contract, that you, the wife, are agreeing to sell me the land that was reserved for your ksuba. Mikra batal. We say that purchase or that sale by the wife is totally null and void. The wife can come along and claim, I just did it to satisfy my husband so that I wanted to agree to his sale. I didn't do it out of my own desire at all. And she can say that. And therefore the purchase will not be valid. However, Minoisha, if a person went and bought the field first from the wife, and he said, are you agreeing that I'm happy to buy this field that was reserved for your ksuba? She says, yes. And then he went and bought it from the husband. That purchase is absolutely valid. She can't say, oh, I did it to satisfy my husband. She can't do that because he hasn't bought it from the husband. He bought it first from her. And if she agrees, therefore, to sell it, we say she did it out of her own heart. With their own agreement. Zu Mishnah Rishayna. This is what was the original Mishnah, how the halacha was brought down. But based in Shalach Re'em Amru, based in that arose after the earlier Mishnah, after this Mishnah, came along and they said things are, they added this qualification. Halokeach misikrikun. Noisan labailim revia. If a person buys a field from the sikrikin, from the mafia people, he has to give the owner a quarter of the value of the land. With the Gemara says that a quarter of the land, a quarter is equal to a third of the money that was paid. Let's explain. Let's say the person bought a field from the sikrikin for 300 zuz. He has to pay, this person who bought it, the sikrikin from the mafia people, has to pay to the original owner 100 zuz. Why 100 zuz? Because the chachamim estimated that the sikrikin, who got their field for nothing, were happy to sell it at a discount. What was the discount? The norm of the discount was a quarter of the price of the field. A quarter of, or 25% less than the value of the field. So, which, by the way, equals a third of the amount that he paid the sikrikin. So, therefore, the lokeach, the buyer who bought it from the sikrikin, has to pay the original owner that quarter that he saved, that quarter of the price of the amount that he paid to the sikrikin, which is a third of the amount he paid to the sikrikin. And then he can keep the field. Because if it was sold for 300 zuz, we say that really it was worth 400 zuz. The sikrikin was happy to suffer a discount in order to get it, to get some money, to get through, and therefore that 100 zuz that was saved by the person who bought the sikrikin, that he has to return it to the original owner. Emosai, when do we say that the buyer is zoich in the field, that he has a right to claim the field, which he bought from the sikrikin, by paying a quarter of the value of the land or a third of the money paid to the owners, that's bizman she'ein biyodan likach. If the owners were themselves were not financially able to buy the field. Let's say the owner of the field did have enough resources to buy it. They get priority before anybody else. I.e., if the buyer, the person who bought the field from the Sukkrikan, comes along and wants to pay the owners a quarter of the value of the field, in order to be zoche in the field, the owners are allowed to say, or are able to say to the buyer, look, we'll give you all your money that you paid with the Sukkrikan. Just give us back our field. And that's what he says. If the original owner has that right to do that. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Hoshiv Beis Din. He put up a Beis Din to deal with this matter. Venimno, and they made a count and they basically agreed. They established the following halacha: Shimshasol b'fnei Sukkrikan shnei masa chodesh. That if the field was already in the hands of the Sukkrikan, of these mafia people, for 12 months, whoever comes first and buys the field from the Sukkrikan will be zoichen it. But he has to pay the owners a quarter, i.e. a quarter of the value of the field or a third of the money. And the reason for this takana was so that the lands, the real estate, should not be remaining in the hands of the goyim. And they said, because otherwise it might just stay there. So they said, if it's been there in the hands of Sukkrikan for 12 months, then anyone who comes first to buy it, whether it's the owner, original owner, or not the original owner, they make sure it gets out of the hands of the goyim, the real estate.